And we are here. Orlando Magic fans, believe in Orlando Magic podcast. It's yours truly, the one and only Andrew Combo Salop, host of Combo's Court, if you recognize the voice over there. So I'll let you speak. Go ahead, sir.
We are here, Max. Oh. It's been a fun day. It's been a media day. The MVP in full effect, Combo's Court in full effect, the Believe Network in full effect. Shouts to them. And I'm excited for this season because it's about to get started.
There you go. That's the voice of Combo's Court. Then myself, Max Van Auken, the host of the Max Van Auken podcast, the MVP. You are correct. It is media day. The NBA season is definitely on the way here. This is kind of getting the juices flowing. You sent me a text saying, did you see the Kevin Durant press conference? I said, no, I've been at work. He said, well, you got to watch it, especially before we record the podcast, right? So I just watched it, and man, that got me fired up to record this podcast. Combo, I'm going to say something, but before I say it, I want to add some clarity and some context. You know, just because of how many times you and I have recorded podcasts and talking off air, we're not into the tearing people down business. I'm not into, like, personally, I don't have any vendetta against any player. I'm a glass half full type of person. I'm not into doing that. And at the end of the day, everyone is their own individual. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm allowed to give my opinion. Like, if you were to do something stupid, for example, I'd be like, Combo, you know, that probably wasn't a good idea, and here's why. Like, I'm going to give you my opinion. But you always make great decisions, by the way. We don't have to ever worry about that. But the case is this. Combo, I watched that press conference. I even have a pen in my hand. That's how you know I'm serious. I watched that press conference, and that infuriated me. I've interviewed Kevin Durant. I think he's one of the most skilled basketball players of all time. This has nothing to do about with him on the court. This has to do with Kevin Durant probably making one of the worst decisions a superstar has ever made in all of sports. He left so many championships off the table, and there are three things that he said that really bother me. Stable, so stability, championship, culture. All three of those things, Golden State had the best of. No one has a better culture right now in the NBA than Golden State. Yeah. No one is winning more championships right now than Golden State. And nobody is more stable right now than Golden State. And you left that. So you, in my opinion, you have no room to then all of a sudden complain that you don't have that there. Like, you chose this situation. And I just feel like there was a lot of finger pointing. There was like, they could have done this, they could have done that. I never heard one time I could have done this. I could have been better. Like, you just got swept in the first round by the Boston Celtics. This can't all just be on everybody else. You created this environment, and you're supposed to be the guy in the environment. So if it all goes like this, you're the mastermind behind it all. Why is there no accountability as far as I? And I'm not saying he's LeBron, but at one point in time when he was beat LeBron, right, a lot of people were like, oh, he's better than LeBron, he's better than this. Okay, so if you're going to be in that type of conversation of the best player in the world, then you're going to be held to those type of standards. And I just, when I watched that, it infuriated me.
Yeah, I will say he had some well-thought-out answers. The thing that I would say, not quite infuriated me, but as a podcaster, I kind of like to read in between the lines, and I could probably hear some things that others can't hear. So when he said he didn't like the way the team handled adversity when he wasn't playing was one of the reasons he wanted to leave. So he didn't want to handle adversity of his team not wanting to handle adversity. Two wrongs don't always make a right. So I found that kind of ridiculous.
Come on, man. Come on, Kevin. Be better than this, Kevin. I'm just, honestly, if we, in honor of media days, for anyone listening to this podcast, my homework assignment for you would be this. Go back to Kevin Durant, Oklahoma City. And I understand people change over time, situation matters. That stuff does all matter, right? Ever since he went to Golden State, and he had the criticism of the whole world saying, you just took the easy way out, that those aren't real championships, whatever the case may be about how you feel going to Golden State, it clearly affected him. Because ever since Golden State is when you got the burner accounts, when you started him going at it with the media members, it always feels like he has something to prove. And now he goes to Brooklyn, and it feels like he has something. Like, it's always this. I'm not a therapist by any means. I'm not someone who's a psychologist. I'm not going to say he has these insecurities. But it doesn't take rocket science to observe ever since he left for Golden State, he's been a different person when it comes to his involvement with the media. Is that fair to say?
It is. It is. And you spoke about the word culture, and I think there's only a few teams in the league with it. I think it's the Warriors. I think it's the Spurs.
The Heat.
I think it's definitely the Heat. I mean, Grizzlies and Toronto are right there on the borderline of it because they're a little bit younger. But he was pointing to things that he wanted in a team that usually has great culture. Now, the whole thing about the Nets were you have to assume going into that situation that great culture isn't built. So basically, you're trying to defy the odds and out-talent teams with more culture than you. So you to just point to things that are usually built by culture, I think, is a little ridiculous. So, yeah, those things that he was talking about, he had to know that they weren't going to be in place. Like, they just threw this team together.
It's frustrating me, man. It honestly is. Like I said, I'm never going to be like, oh, you should or shouldn't do that. Now, personally, I do think it was a weak move, so to speak, when it comes from a competitive standpoint going to Golden State. But it was a smart move because it's if you just want to focus on playing basketball – okay, Golden State clearly is the place to be because you have a culture. Steph Curry is going to answer the tough media questions. You have great front office. You have – like, that's the perfect place for you to be Kevin Durant, and it was. But can you name me – and we'll stick to the NBA. We don't have to go all of sports, even though I would say all of sports. Can you name me a player who has made a decision that has left as many championships on the table as Kevin Durant?
That's an interesting question.
Now, no NBA championships guaranteed, obviously, but we can all – I think it's fair to say if Kevin Durant returned to the Golden State Warriors and they were able to bounce back a little bit healthy because they obviously had a lot of injuries when they lost to the Raptors, if they were to just be somewhat healthy, we could definitely say they had another championship or two left in them.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he was the best player in the world, in my opinion, maybe outside of LeBron. So when you add him to – one of the top 10 players of all time with Steph Curry and that culture they have with Draymond and Clay. Yeah, man, I think they could have had even a crazier dynasty. And I know there's a debate if there's a dynasty right now. I believe there are a dynasty right now, even though part of the dynasty, KD, wasn't even there.
I'm going to button my shirt up all the way. I mean business this episode.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me button this up. Can you name me? It doesn't feel right, but it means I'm serious. So, can you name me one? You can't name me one player who's left that many championships.
I would have to think about it. We didn't talk about this in pre-production, even though our pre-productions are a little short sometimes.
Yeah, they are because we just, we know how to just talk the talk. But I mean, like, what would come to mind? People may say, "Well, when LeBron left Miami, well, clearly Wade had no more knees anymore. Chris Bosh wasn't the same player. Obviously, it was an aging roster. So I would say not LeBron James." You think of any of the championship, maybe Kawhi in Toronto. No, I mean, they won that championship, but I don't see them going back-to-back. Like, I'm thinking of all the modern stars because obviously that's when mobility is most prevalent.
I guess some would say Jordan could have had 8 if he didn't go to baseball.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing. But see, it doesn't feel like that was a big mistake because he was doing it in honor of his father, right? So he's chasing – I got to unbutton this. This is ridiculous. He was chasing his father – like his father wanted his dream of him playing baseball. Kevin Durant leaving just to go to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. We could have all – I mean, yes, it was crazy talent when you see it on paper, but we all in the back of our minds, the biggest rebuttal was, that's a lot of egos going on. Like, why would you trade that for Golden State?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like,
all right, man.
And if you would have stayed at OKC, probably could have won some there. And then that would have really helped his legacy out even more than those Warriors championships. Because you know all championships aren't created equal when we're comparing the all-time greats.
I'm saying, man. That's why, like, I understand, like you said, he did have some well-articulated sentences, some good answers. But I'm like, man, I'm not buying any of this because I don't have any sympathy when you're in a perfect situation. You leave to go to a situation that is definitely not perfect, and now you're worried that it's not perfect. I'm like
– I think if you're one of those people that had the theory that they came to an agreement just to reset the leverage so they could trade him at a later date, I think your theory looks better now after that press conference, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And I just – yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure we'll have more NBA previews as we go closer to the season on who we think is going to win and whatnot. And I know you and I agree on the MVP this year, but I would not buy stock in this Brooklyn team whatsoever. I wouldn't. I've seen the Ben Simmons recent interview about shooting more threes, and I'm not completely – I was trying to say buy Ben Simmons stock when everyone was off.
Did you watch the whole interview?
I didn't watch the whole interview, but I always love J.J. Redick's work, so I know I want to, and I was watching the clips, you know what I mean? I must admit I was a victim to the social media, just watched that real quick. But
yeah, you know what it is? Like sometimes with these interviews, you don't get the whole gist of it with all like the clips, because a lot of it is very clickbaity, especially when they start repurposing it on different people's platforms that have nothing to do with JJ Redick. You know, it's kind of like the Russell Westbrook Pat Beverly thing that was taken out of context, in my opinion. I don't think I've heard anybody talk about this, because Pat Beverly said that tough conversations will be had. But I don't think he was referring to his past with Russell Westbrook. He was referring to that within any season, when you're going to greatness, you're going to have tough conversations with everybody. So you saw that headline and you thought it was with Russell and Pat Bev, but you could give a million of examples of that.
They do it to us on the regular combo. Come on now, let's be honest. We're getting attacked left and right on social media, but we go toe to toe with them. But
they're attacking us that we don't talk about the Magic enough, and we haven't talked about the Magic. But when the season starts, we got you, man.
Let's say we could. I mean, they have media day. This is actually one of the, you know, believe it or not, out of my 3 years of covering the Magic, I never actually
believe it or not. I saw what you did there with the believe.
You saw that? I didn't go to a media day. I was never able to attend a media day, scheduling and whatnot. I never actually was able to do that. But I won't obviously be in Orlando for the start of the season this year, which is kind of unfortunate. But hopefully we'll see. We'll cross paths with that when it comes to NBA coverage. But regardless, we can't talk Orlando Magic basketball. I just definitely was when I saw that Kevin Durant interview, and I'm looking at the teams in the East, and I'm looking at the Lakers, and I'm watching all these different things. I'm like, that one just to me, it just didn't sit well with me. You know what I mean? Like,
Did that come to mind? The thing I was talking about with what he said, like he didn't like the way they were handling adversity, and then he's the one who wants to leave the adversity. I mean, that was kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, it's just so hypocritical. It doesn't make sense. Like, and he says, well, yeah, I don't like the way that the players.
You have to be part of the culture. Like, you have to find ways to help your teammates become better and talk to them and tell them I'm coming back and I want to fit in this way. Like, you got to be able to communicate that. Or maybe you don't, but it's not beneficial to the team. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but there's certain things that you do that is beneficial to having a winning culture.
Yeah, and Combo, he's just not another guy. Like, you're Kevin freaking Durant. You're the man of the team. So what you say goes. There's a reason why the Warriors are egoless. Yeah, they have a great front office and it trickles down, but Steph Curry's egoless. Like, hey, I'll take a backseat. Kevin Durant, you come in, even though I'm just the first unanimous MVP ever. So if Steph Curry is egoless, then you have no reason to have an ego. Jordan Poole, you have no reason to have an ego. Clay, Draymond, like, it starts with the leader. And so Kevin Durant, you want to be that guy. And then you want to talk about culture. Well, you're a huge part of that culture. And so to your point, and my whole thing too is, I didn't like the way that they played when I wasn't playing. They shouldn't be as reliant on me. That's fair. But then that's when you come in, right? Like, I mean, I feel like that's what your role is supposed to be. Then there's more to just being the best player than on the court talent. You have to be the guy in the locker room.
No, I agree with you. And I will say, like, I think he does speak his truth and he doesn't tailor his answers to the media. So he's just going to tell it like how he sees it, if you agree with it or not. But, you know, like, I could see why people wouldn't agree with it.
I'm going to throw this theory at you. Tell me what you think. I'm not, again, I know, I feel like I'm breaking this man down like I'm a psychologist. But listen to this. Does it seem like we're not questioning he loves the game of basketball. There's nothing he enjoys more than being a basketball player. But I don't think he's a fan of being an NBA player. What I mean by that is, like, what comes with it, like the body language. As soon as he goes to the podium, he doesn't like dealing with the media. He doesn't like dealing with the criticism, the Twitter, the social media, the attention, the engagement.
Well, he obviously loves social media and Twitter because you could just turn your phone off or erase Twitter.
Yeah.
So the NBA part is his job, and he gets paid a lot of money to do it. So he has to show up and do it. And I think you're right. Like, he'd be playing basketball even if the money wasn't involved, which James Harden actually said that about himself today, which I thought was a great quote. He also mentioned hill sprints, which I love, and I still do once a week, and I think it's beneficial for every basketball player. But get me back to the point. What did you just say so I can get back to it? Because I don't want to lose my train of thought.
He's in love with basketball. He's not in love with being an NBA player.
Yeah, no, I could see that. That makes sense. Like, he might not like the attention, but as I just said, like, the social media stuff is his choice.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think they bring a lot of it upon themselves, and then they wonder why the media is asking these questions. These are all fair questions. I mean, you requested out of nowhere to get traded out of Brooklyn. Like, that's going to cut. Like, you should have known that question is going to happen.
Yeah, if he took the James Harden approach with media and social media, he probably wouldn't have as much scrutiny. Yeah,
that's but what, I just don't
you know. It is what it is. Like, every action has a reaction.
I don't know, man. If I'm listening to this podcast, if you're an NBA fan, us as Breaking Down the Game as podcasters and media members, I'm not buying stock in Brooklyn. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not championship contenders in my book.
Wow. I mean, they added some really good pieces. I think Ben, Kyrie, and KD on paper fit really well together. They have crazy shooting around them with Joe Harris, Patty Mills. I'm missing people here. They have Kevin Durant and Kyrie are great shooters, obviously. So I think it's a great fit on the roster. And you got some tough guys with playoff experience on there. So, yeah, but I see what you're saying when it comes to it all trickles down from maybe KD's attitude, and you're worried about that.
Yes, sir. I have another topic I want to throw at you.
Okay.
I was sitting in the Odd Couple, so Rob Parker had me come down. Shout out to Chris Broussard and Rob P. And one of the big topics that they were talking about, I'm like, man, yeah, Combo and I got to talk about this. Because it's a weird situation, right? It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but it's one that needs to be had. Coach Udoka. We're going to talk about the Boston Celtics, right? So we're talking about the East. We just talked about contenders, the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. The Boston Celtics were just in the finals against the Golden State Warriors. You got a young team. You add Brogdon. They look like they could be the favorites to come out of the East. They're at least one of them. And then this situation happens. And Rob Parker brought up a very interesting point. So we know Coach Udoka is out of coaching for this year. And according to reports and most people around, well-sourced, act like he's probably not going to coach with the Boston Celtics again, from what we know. But the mysterious part of this whole thing is we don't have all the information. We just know it was some type of sexual relation with one of his workers there. It was consensual. And I know this is an uncomfortable conversation, but it's important. And Matt Barnes was like, man, Boston, you got to be kidding me. But then apparently he took down that post and made a new one, and he said, wow, I just got information from one of my sources, and it is 100 times worse than what I thought. Now, this is Matt Barnes, and for those listening to All the Smoke, like, he's a pretty unfiltered guy. He could take a lot of stuff. He's a tough dude. So for him to say it's 100 times worse than what he thought, worse than you can imagine, that's insane. Like, it makes you wonder, right?
That has me dumbfounded because Matt Barnes says it was 100 times uglier, I think was the words that he used.
Yeah.
But the Celtics didn't think it was ugly enough for them to fire him. So I don't know where that lands with this situation. I don't even know what to think. I would say that there is a lot of people that seem to have the information. They're just not spilling the beans.
Right. And what I'm thinking is obviously because of lawsuits, they're going through the legality, like the legal process of it all. So they can't fire him right away. So what they have to do is suspend him for a year, kind of let things play out the way it's supposed to. I'm not acting like I'm a lawyer by any means, but there's some things I need to figure out so they don't get sued and like lawsuits and whatnot. And then they're going to go ahead and say, yeah, he's done.
And also, usually when you fire somebody, you have to pay them.
Mm.
So if there's some grounds maybe where they wouldn't have to pay him if he is in violation of some sort, then maybe that changes things in that department. I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer just like yourself. But that is an interesting take, what you're saying. Like, maybe they want to fire, but they don't want to fire him yet. But,
yeah,
like, that nuance right there with Matt Barnes saying it's 100 times uglier and the Celtics not firing him, it's like, where does that land? Like,
yeah, what's really going on? And they obviously can't release anything else more right now, but we do know, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, the interim head coach, Coach Joe Mazzulla. I think I'm pretty sure that's how you say
that's
it.
That's good.
Thank you.
One of the youngest coaches in the NBA. He's going to be 35, so Al Horford will be older than him, and he'll be playing for him. So that'll be really interesting.
Shout out to Coach Joe right there. There's so many Coach Joes out there, by the way. I feel like everyone has had a Coach Joe. I know I have. I certainly have had a Coach. I've had two Coach Joes.
I've had friends named Joe. I don't know about a coach. That's
everyone knows a Joe.
Oh, everyone knows a Joe.
Everybody
knows a Mike. If you live in this country and you don't know a Mike, that's crazy.
My stepfather's named Mike.
Yeah, come on. Like,
Joe and Mike are
everywhere. That's a good Twitter question. Is there anybody out there that doesn't know somebody named Mike? But you know what? It's almost impossible now because people feel like they know each other on social media. So think of how hard it was to not know a Mike before social media. Now with social media, you know everybody.
Yeah, I'm just so. Everywhere you go, there's a Joe, there's a Mike, and so it's like Mike 1, Mike 2. It's crazy. But
what do you think? What do you think is the third most popular name? Steve?
I was going to say Steve.
Steve's pretty popular.
Steve, you got Coach Steve, Kevin Durant, Coach Steve, and I talk Steve Nash, like Steve Kerr. The list goes on.
Steve
on.
Steve's popular.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, Joe, and Peter? Mike. No, I don't Peter's... know. Peter, I don't know. That rubs me the wrong way.
You don't like Peter?
I don't know. If your name's Peter, I'm thinking twice.
You think that, what do you think, they're creepy?
I don't know. It just, it makes me, I take a second. You know what I mean? I have to process the information.
Yo, Peter sounds a little creepy, right? Shout out to all the Peters out there that listen to our podcast. That we appreciate you. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the other Peters.
Well,
actually, Pistol Pete, though, so he was a,
bet you
he was
call
a real
him
one.
Pistol
he was a real one.
Pete.
That's true. It was Pete. It was,
you know,
Pistol.
I mean? If they just were like, yeah, Peter over there, it's like, ah, is he, I don't know.
He was definitely a real one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like today I was working on the herd and this guy came, he was talking, he's like, you know, because the Jeffrey Dahmer thing just came out on Netflix. And he was like, if someone was like, no, don't call me Jeff, call me Jeffrey. Like that would creep you out a little bit. And I was like, I never really thought about that. He's like, yeah, I mean, who really wants to go by their full name? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't think about that. And so it just made me think. And so now Coach Joe, like the names say a lot about
it. Is Max your full name?
It is.
M-A-X. That's what's on the birth.
Three is my favorite number. Three is the letters in my name. Three, I'm a shooter. I was born on the third.
Whoa.
Come at me.
You should
me,
be
Kama.
Saying that at every podcast.
I just made that up, too.
You got bars.
Come on. Two Mac and M. That's what they call me in high school. But anyway, yeah, that Boston situation, it's a problem. I certainly think it's going to take some adjustment, which is really unfortunate. Because, right, like I said, you have a young squad just in the championship. Jason Tatum clearly is taking a step. We both believe Jaylen Brown's going to take another step. You add Brogdon. Does this – it's so hard to evaluate the situation, but from just this point right now, does this change your mind about them at all?
Of course.
Yeah, that's a
problem. Yeah, I mean – I didn't think they were going to win a championship this year necessarily, but it definitely lessens their chances.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This guy's a young coach. He's a new coach. They had momentum. I'm sure he's a great coach, but it's just hard to restart things. But then again, sometimes when you give a team a new look and you could keep what they have, but give them a new look, it happened with the Lakers back in the 80s.
Ooh,
when,
okay.
Yeah, because they just had winning time. You know, Paul Westhead was the coach. The guy Jack before him actually got in a motorcycle accident. You know, he was out. You know, Westhead came in. They won a championship. Then Irvin wanted Westhead done with the new look of Pat Riley. They won multiple championships. So you never know.
Combo. This is why you get paid the big bucks. You're giving us history lessons on the Lakers in the 80s based off a motorcycle accident. Who are you?
I'm that dude. I am him.
You are him. You are Joe. But
I'm not Joe.
Nonetheless, I'm Combo.
Combo did. Oh, Max did. Oh, okay. Right,
I like here. That guy, dude. Let's talk Orlando Magic basketball, Combo. I've already, I don't know if I told you this. I think you and I have had this conversation because we talked about the 2K ratings. LeSean McCoy asked me, he's like, who is the best Orlando Magic player? And immediately, they say whatever the first thought comes to mind is usually the one you're really thinking or like honest, right? I said Paolo.
That's the first person to come to mind, but I wouldn't be mad if somebody said Franz.
I told him, I said, Paolo's one, Franz is two, Wendell was the most productive.
Yeah, Wendell's going to take a leap this season, too.
Yeah, what's your a lot of people say leap. What is your definition of a leap? Is that a stat? Is that a contribution, impact? How do you define your leap?
All of that. And also perceived impact on the game. Once you start doing it for more than a whole season – at that level, because he continued to get better and show new things. And once he could show it throughout the whole season, which he did a pretty good job of last season, and then you start winning, a perceived leap might be even more important than the actual leap, like what people are seeing, because he's already been good and he's already been getting better for a while now.
I like that. I'm currently going to tell you right now, because like I said, there was team photos on what's going on, obviously media day, interviews, trying to see if there's anything else that stood out. Cole Anthony, T. Ross is still on the roster. Jonathan Isaac, what are your expectations for him? I get asked that question a lot. I know Chris and Rob asked me that one time. They're like, can Jonathan Isaac be that guy if healthy? And it's hard to give that type of answer because we always say, right, availability is the best ability, but he's positionless basketball in 2022.
Yeah, no, he fits the modern big to a T, so it's all about health with him, and I think he could come back. He just has to come healthy. Like, people have come back from his injuries and played really well before. Torn ACL, I've had two of them, so I know that if you work hard at it, if you enjoy the process, which I know is a cliche, You know, you can find other ways to get better. You know, you're watching the game. You're improving other parts of your body through weight training and different types of training. You take a step back. You have perspective. There's different things you could do. It's almost like if you injure your right hand, you work on your left hand. So the obstacle is the way, Max, and I think you can come back.
You're a part-time motivational speaker. I've come to grips with that.
The basketball philosopher combo.
I like that. Last question for you. Mm-hmm. And then the floor is yours. Whatever you want to do with the show, is it's up to you, combo. Bol Bol. He's the unicorn. Mm-hmm. He's a 2K player. He makes it look like it's not real. He's all those things. But at the same time, let's be honest with ourselves, there have been reports of him not – I know I've heard, especially being in the building when I was there, the love, the work ethic, the wanting it more, the showing up early, late nights type of thing. They don't really get that from him. That's what the complaint has been, the work ethic, and does he love the game? And that's always a huge red flag for me. I understand you're not everyone's going to be Kobe Bryant. Not everyone's going to be Michael Jordan, LeBron with the work ethic and loving the game. But you got to know, I have to know that you're giving it your all. What do you expect from that type of guy? So when people see him, like I think there's been a couple Magic players. I forget who it was. It was Terrence Ross or Fultz. To say he does things that you can't even imagine. What can we as Magic fans, people that pay attention to the Orlando Magic on a daily, what are your expectations for him, or what are some things you want to see from him?
Years back, the first time I saw Bol Bol play in person was at Christ the King High School for this National High School Championship Classic. I don't know the exact name of it, but I think it was covered by ESPN to some effect. I remember seeing like ESPN billboards there or whatever. But besides that, I did notice that he lacked motor. Like, he didn't play hard throughout the course of the game, didn't look too engaged, but you obviously saw the size, skill, and athleticism he had, and you knew he had a lot of potential. But I would see seeing him in Summer League a few years later, that passion was coming out, and obviously he was really fun to watch in Summer League. You mentioned it. Like, he looked like a created 2K player. He didn't look real because he's like 7'5", with handle, could shoot, could pass, very skilled. But functionally, how does he fit in the NBA? Because you're not just going to give Bol Bol the keys and let him do that like you did in Summer League. So it's really all about how he's going to fit. And then once he fits in, he could show some of those skills that makes him an anomaly at that size. But I have seen him play with passion before, and I have seen him play with no passion. So I think it could be hit or miss in that department, but I still do believe in him because he's super talented, super big, and highly skilled for his size.
Combo, this could be one of the best podcasts we've recorded.
Yeah, we keep getting better, man.
Yeah, I mean, from a basketball standpoint to a humor standpoint, I don't know if it gets better than this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. How are we going to top this?
I don't know. It's next crazy. Episode. Next episode, when we give our I don't know if you want to do it next episode, so I won't give that tease. But we'll have our whole NBA breakdown coming up. Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, champions, all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Should I sign us out of here?
The floor is yours.
Listen to the MVP podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. His name is his brand. You could listen to Combo's Court. Same place, wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Max_Ban_Aukin on Instagram. It's 1-2 Combo on Instagram. Catch us on Twitter as well. I'm Combo's Court on Twitter. It's Max_Ban_Aukin on Twitter. Don't forget to rate, review, and punch down on that subscribe button wherever you listen to the Believe in Magic podcast.
We're out.